topic of my ministration to remind us this morning is, let God control your life. Let God control your life, or live to please God. We are going to read like three scriptures. Matthew 6:33. The Bible says in this book, but seek, aim, and strive after. That is, it should be all that we do 24/7 to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. We have to seek the righteousness of God. We have to seek first his kingdom. He's talking to every one of us, and he's talking to me. As we just listen to that message, imagine 70 years just discovering that is not only mental assent. My brothers and my sisters, God has blessed us so wonderfully in this church. And he's sending forth the undiluted word to us every day as we come to Bible study on Thursday, as we come on Sunday, and as we go to our different individual fellowships, men's fellowship, women's fellowship, youth fellowship, the children, God is talking to us. This is where we have to hear the word, because sometimes when the truth comes out, when it's just, you know, like the truth is coming forth, and is addressing some things in our lives, we need to hearken to God's voice, because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Our life does not belong to us. It belongs to him. That's why we have to let God control our lives. We have to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then all these things taken together will be given to us. Beside, then we have everything. When we seek him first, when we put him first, we can't allow ourselves to waste our lives. We can't allow ourselves to waste time, because time waits for no one. Precious time God has given to us. Imagine he gave us 24 hours, 7 days. Today now have 24 hours. Since 12 midnight, we are still going through those time. So every minute, every day of our life, it counts to God. Let's make it to count to God. Don't let us use this, just spend it unwisely. Why do we have to allow God to take control of our lives? Because he's our maker. He's our creator. He made us in his image. He created us a male and a female, nothing else. And he is the one that knows the complete metamorphosis, as we are going, that is science, is the one that knows the complete metamorphosis of our lives. You know, when you are doing science, when you're doing those biology, they taught us complete metamorphosis or incomplete. Those ones that go through the first stages of their life, that is complete. So God is the one that knows the complete metamorphosis of our lives. So we have to allow him. He's the one that gives us breath. Is the one that gives us the ability to see each day. Is by grace. It is not by strength. It is not by power. It is by the grace and the mercy of God that we are living, my brothers and sisters. Let's talk to ourselves real this morning. I'm talking to myself. He's talking to me. He's talking to us. Let's allow God to take control of our lives. Let's give him all those human flesh will. This is my will. Our will cannot count to nothing. We cannot live a victorious life by our own will, in our own human flesh. We have to allow God. We have to seek him first. Anywhere we are, either the pastors are not there, your family members are not there, you find yourself right in there. Think about it. Am I seeking his kingdom first? Is this what he wants me to do? Is this the way he wants me to react to this? Is it the way he wants me to talk? We have to allow God, because he's our creator. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. Imagine, God created us in his image. That means he knows when, how, and where our life goes. He knows what is the right thing for us to do. And in the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. So God, when God created us in his own image, we are the only creature that God created in his image because he loves us. We are the apple of his eyes. And he wants to direct the affairs of our lives. He doesn't want to take authority into our own hands. So he created us because he's our maker. That is the reason why we have to allow him to control our lives. That is the reason why we have to live to please him every day of our lives. No matter what is going on outside in the world, we have to allow Christ. Christ, what will you have me to do? How do you want me to go about this? We should ask him every day because he's the one that knows where those treasures, where those blessings are. He's the one that knows the peaceful job that he has ordained for us. He's the one that knows his will for us in marriage, our older youth. God is the one that knows the will, the perfect will for us in marriage. Let's put away. Let's do away with, oh, this is what I want. Let's be ready and willing to accept what he wants for us. We are going to stay there for a while. 1 to 18, Psalm 139. We are going to start from verse 1. You know, when the truth is coming forth, it makes us to be still and be quiet because the truth is always bitter. But anyway, we need to accept the truth. Oh Lord, this is David. Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. That is, God has searched us. Even though I'm looking at Papa now, I don't know what is inside Papa's heart. He doesn't know what is in my heart. God, our creator. God, our maker. God that put all those organs in our body. He knows what we are thinking. Because that is why the Bible called David a man after his own heart. Because David allowed God to control his life. And that's why he said, oh Lord, you have searched me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. He knows when we are sitting down in that car and driving. Maybe when we are going up the speed limit. Because the speed limit is there, 20, like New York now, they reduce it to 25. He knows when we are sitting down. He knows when we are rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. He understands our thoughts afar off. The thought that we are, that is, what are we dwelling in our heart? He knows our thoughts. You comprehend my path and my lying down. That is, he understands every part of our life. Even while we are in our mother's womb, thank God for our expectant mothers. God knows those babies. Even before the baby gets to be conceived in the womb, he knows about them. That's why he said, you comprehend my path and my lying down. He knows every part of our life. He knows when I was in Nigeria that I'm going to come to America. He knows the time. Me, I don't know. Also, many of us, either we came from Ghana, from Liberia, whichever country we came from, God knows our path. He knows the right thing for us. He knows what the right way, even though we use GPS, I use GPS too. But God is the perfect GPS. Sometimes the GPS will route us, rerouting or recalculating. But God, he doesn't reroute us. He knows the right path for us to go. Even when we are going through the wrong path, he knows how to reroute us, but we have to allow him. Because if you don't allow him, he will not show us the right path. So he knows our lying down and are acquainted with all our ways, every ways that we have. He knows everything. Even when we are hiding from him,
Because sometimes we may not be truthful with each other, but God knows what is in our heart. So that is the reason why we have to allow him to control our lives. We can't hide from him. Because he knows everything about us. For there is not a word on my tongue. There is not a word on my tongue or in our tongues that he doesn't know. But behold, O Lord, you know it all together. He knows everything altogether. You can hold on from there. Let me read the version that I have here. Just leave it. David knew and understood this. He said, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. I think it's ERV. You know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thought, even when I'm afar off. You see when I travel and when I rest at home. Imagine, he sees when you are in the here. Whether you are traveling to Africa or you are traveling to Asia, he's with. He knows that, he knows out. He knows everything. He's the one that gave the people that built that plane. He's the one that gave them the wisdom and the know-how. So he knows. You know everything I do. He knows everything that we do. The one that we did yesterday. The one that is happening now and the one that will happen in the future. He knows everything. You know what I am going to say even before I say it. Imagine. He knows what we are going to say even before we say it. Lord, you go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. His thought and what he wants for us is blessing, not anything else. That is why we have to allow him to navigate our life through his right, his own path, so that we can be victorious and be successful. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. This is David. Also, such knowledge that God has in regards to our life is just too wonderful and too big. He says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never go away from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. We can't get away from the presence of God. See, the story of the prodigal son. It's going to be very short because I asked God, God, have your way. That's one of the ways that he wants to talk to us this morning, through that DVD that we just watched. I prepared what we have for today. But as I sat down there, as the message is, as that DVD was going on, God was just talking to me that, you know what? You are going to round it up very short with the story of the prodigal son. Is there any way that we have not been allowing God to control our lives? Are there things that he has been talking to us? My son, my daughter, this is the way you should take it. This is what I want for you. But we are clouded, as this prodigal son was clouded and requested, give me my inheritance. I need to go. He went to the father. Can we go there, please? Luke 15. Sorry, I didn't put it there. We are going to start from 11, please. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, that child is very bold to go to the father when the father was still alive to ask for what belongs to him. Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Very bold. So he divided them. The father didn't argue with him. So he divided them his livelihood. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possession with prodigal living. He just lavished everything because that wealth is not the one that works for it. So he just got it because the father is a patient father. He was so patient that he just gave him, just have it. And he went, he spent everything. But when he had spent all, the Bible says, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his precious soul? There arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want because he's finished everything. And he found himself in a strange land. Nobody can help him because he left his family. So what have we been holding on to that God has been talking to us and asking us, my daughter, my son, go this route. Take this. This is my will for you. I don't know who God is talking to this morning, but I humbly implore you to grab it and accept the will of God for your life. Let God control your life because tomorrow belongs to Him. Before we go further, last week, Saturday, I had an uncle here. He passed like a few years ago. And the wife called me and invited my family to her 68th birthday. Honestly, I don't know that God would want me to talk about it because every time I say, God, I just hand over myself to you. You just say what you want to say through me. I am your vessel. I humbly just give myself to you. She sent invitation, the color and everything. Even she told me that, don't worry, you will get your hair tie and your husband's hat when you get there. I called her on Saturday last week. I asked her why we spoke, preparation for the birthday. What will she want me to prepare? I told her, she said, okay, prepare it. I did. My husband and I and somebody else, we went there on Saturday. But when we left, we just noticed that she was just sitting down. She didn't get up throughout before we left. But it's very unusual. So now, I called her on Monday. I left a voice message. But didn't hear back. So one of my other uncle called me. So we are talking, he was just calling to say thank you for coming, that we came. So I now asked him, I said, I've called auntie. I left voice message. What is going on? Oh, he said, they took her to see the doctor and they admitted her. But I was busy throughout the week. By God's will, getting ready for today and other stuff. So Friday, on our way coming for the Sunday school preview, I said, let me call our daughter. So I pick up the phone. I call our daughter. I noticed that her voice was so low. I said, maybe she was with her mom in the hospital. So now, I said, how is your mom doing? Mom passed this morning. I said, what? You see, our life belongs to God, my brothers and my sisters. Let's talk to ourselves real. We need to allow God to control our life. He has promised us long life. Yes, long life is our portion. But after spending 100 years and we get back to Him, He is going to ask us individually, personally, not in groups. I was talking to my daughter this week. I said, we are not going to go before God as Orange First Care Gospel Church. It's going to be Kemi and Jory. And He will ask me, what did you do with the life that I gave you? Do you allow me to control your life? So that is the reason why we have to allow God to control our lives. The prodigal son went further and spent and lavished everything that his father gave him. Let's continue. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen because he doesn't have any food anymore. No more food. To a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed the swine just for him to be able to get something to eat. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pots that the swine ate. Imagine a son that has everything with the father. He left. And no one gave him anything. But, my brothers and my sisters, let's come to ourselves this morning. What are we engaging our heart? What are we battling with God with? Let's give it out because he holds our life in his hands. What are we holding on to? Let's give it to him because he knows the right thing for us. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? What is it that we can't give it to God? He gave us life. When we came, I don't know how that picture just came to me. I was talking to my daughter. I said, we all came here, nothing, naked. But when each baby comes out of the womb, the doctors start cleaning the blood, start cleaning the dirty stuff. And the same way, after 100 years, we are going to go back to him. So brothers and sisters, let us allow God to control our lives. Let's live a life that is pleasing to God. And he went further. After he came to himself, I will arise and go to my father. And we say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose because he came to himself. That means he allowed God, when he came to himself, he now allowed God to control his life. And he accepted, he humbly accepted, he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The same way, the father is willing, his hands are open every minute, every second, waiting for us to say, God, I accept your will. God, I am going to do your will. God, I will seek you first. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. Let's celebrate the will of God. Let's celebrate to seek first the kingdom of God. It's worth celebration. No, we'll end there. So, brethren, I implore us this morning, we must let God take control of our lives because he alone knows the best and the right plans for us. And in every stages of our lives, without him, we can do nothing. That is John 15:5, NLT. Without him, we can do nothing. Jesus Christ is the vine, and we are the branches. And we have to allow him because he's like a vine and a branch. If the branch decided, you know, I don't want to be part of the vine any longer, the branch will not thrive because that is the set rule that a vine and the branches has to be attached together. So we have to allow God, we have to allow Christ, Jesus, Holy should be our message every minute, every second. Jesus, what will you have me do? So without the vine, there will be no fruit. We have to attach to the vine so that we can bear fruit, and that fruit will remain to his glory. Yes, that jump. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Including me. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Don't let the world deceive us. Don't let the devil deceive us, telling us lies from the pit of hell. Let's seek first his kingdom and allow God to control our lives. So how can we allow God to control our lives? As our theme for the year 2019, the Holy Spirit. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit, nothing else. Because the Bible says in Acts 1, but you and I will receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon us. And we are going to be his witnesses. That means we receive the power, the ability to allow him to control our lives. We receive the power and the grace to walk and live in the Spirit so that we will not fulfill the lust of this flesh, because the flesh war against the Spirit. The flesh always brings thoughts that is not in line with God's will. The flesh will tell us a lot of things. It will quote it and make it, you know, like, make it like it's something that is real, but it's not real, it's fake. So this means there is nothing worth having or doing outside of Jesus. Nothing. To live a life controlled by the Holy Spirit, we must accept the fact that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And we must seek him first. 24/7. The ability comes upon us to allow and let God control our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we have to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:6. We have to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. We have to allow God to control our life. We cannot be controlled by the carnal mind, by this flesh. He said, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When we allow the Spirit of God to control us, we will not have too many pressures warring against our heart. We will have peace of mind because we allow him and we accept whatever it is that is now leading us through his word. So let the Spirit of God lead you and I in everything we do each day. Romans 8:14-17a. The true child of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. We are true children of God when we allow the Spirit of God to lead us in every aspect of our lives. The Spirit that we receive is not a Spirit that makes us slaves again. We are no longer slaves. And he does not give us fear. You know, I battled with that fear for a long time. Until God gave me, you know, like a deeper revelation that fear is just false evidence appearing real. And the enemy, the flesh, and the devil will make us to accept that fact. That, oh, don't go there. You can't drive by yourself. It will bring a lot of things to put us into that bondage. But God has delivered us from that bondage. And he has not given us the spirit of fear. So the spirit that we have makes us God's chosen children. We are now the children of God. And with that spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. Anytime we call upon him, he answers us. It amazes me when I think about how many people are in this whole universe. And each of us, we go to God, we talk to him, he knows our name. Imagine. He knows everybody's name. Even all the names of the people in the church. I don't think I can. All the names. But God knows everybody's name all over the whole universe. And when we go to him and cry, Abba, Father, he hears each and every one of us. He knows what we are asking. He knows what A is asking in Asia. He knows who is asking something in UK. He knows Another person that is asking for something in Canada. Imagine our God. We serve a big God, my brothers and my sisters. Let's reference him and allow him to control our lives. When God directs us, we must willingly and humbly accept and do whatever he wants us to do. We should not rely on our own agenda or human choices in any way, but we must accept God's will completely without hesitation. Without thinking, oh, Lord, let me wait until next year. We have to do it now. Now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Now is the time we need to accept whatever God is leading us to do. Let God control what? Our life. Let him control our life because he knows everything about us. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you when you have walked that 8 hours or 12 hours and you are coming out from your office. You are just walking. He said, I will give you strength. I will renew and recuperate that strength back to your body. Because he said he will never leave us. Yes, I will help you. Where do we need help? He will help us. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He will uphold us. Either you are sleeping and you have that nightmare, he's there with you. You are not alone. Either in that office, you are going through circumstances which you don't even understand how to get out of it. He knows about it. Go to him and talk to him. God, this is what is happening at my office. Instead of going and be gossiping. God, here I am. This is what is happening. I need your help. He's always there because he's our helper. He's our present help in time of trouble. He's always present with us 24/7. He does not leave us. He does not forsake us. So brothers and sisters, we must let go of every human understanding. As Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean onto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. He wants us to acknowledge him every day. He doesn't want us to take loss into our hands and say, oh, I know it all. Yes, he gives us wisdom, but we have to allow him to direct that wisdom in his own will. We sing that song. My lifetime, I will give God my lifetime. My lifetime, I will give God my lifetime. If I give God my lifetime, he will take care of me. He will never, never let me down. I will give God my lifetime. We sing that song. Do we give him the totality of our life indeed as we sing in that song? Or we are still saying, God, I give you 50%. Let me take care of the 50%. We need to give him 100% and let him take over. And we will see how he will turn things around. You see, when my kids were still very young, I bothered a lot about them. I see if I should go to their school and be looking at them, seeing what they are doing. But God brought me to that level that, how will you go to 3 children's school? Give them to me. and I would take care of them. Since that time, peace of mind just came to my heart. Each time I remember, I would say, God, this one is there. Take care of him. He's your child. He's a gift. It's not a sorrow. Whatever he's doing, let your will be established. Reveal yourself to him or her. So that's how we have to allow God to take charge. And we need to find time and meditate upon the word of God. By the grace of God, this is part one. We'll finish part two. My brothers and my sisters, please, I am imploring us, let Jesus indeed be the controller of our lives. He is the one that knows the perfect way. Abraham believed God. Despite his age, the Bible says he did not consider his physical body. Neither did he consider how Sarah was. But he accepted the promise of God, even though it took a while before it came to pass. But Abraham trusted in the Lord with the whole of his heart. David allowed God to control him. If David did not allow God to control his life when he saw Goliath, that fear would have took him off. Ah, this big man, I'm so small. But he was so bold, and he looked at Goliath, because greater is he that is in him than he that is in Goliath. So the same way, what is that Goliath? Let's allow God to control us. And you move in that thing that seems roaring like a lion. The devil is not a lion. Our God, Jesus, is the tribe of the Lion of Judah. But Satan is not, he's just faking. So we have to allow God to control every aspect of our lives. Do not hold on to anything. Give it all to him and let him take charge. And you will see how things will turn around. When we allow God, we have peace of mind. You will do even more than you think you can, than you can ever do, because he will do that more thing through us, because we allow him and we let him take charge. We live our life to please him. We say Jesus is the only way. On Christ, the solid rock that we are standing, let's indeed allow that rock to be our foundation, to be the foundation of our lives. Let's give him all and let him have his way and let him rule our lives. And allow the word, because the word of God is God himself. There is life in the word. There is life in the word. Things comes up. A lot of things comes to us every day. Issues of life comes up. But when we allow God to control our lives, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he's able to give us victory every day, every minute. It's not that so many of us are not having symptoms, but we stand on that word, because the word of God cannot go back to him without coming to fulfillment. He said himself took our infirmities and our sicknesses and our diseases, and by his stripes he made us whole. He made us whole indeed, and we are whole. We have been healed by his stripes. To round up, I will just round us with this story of a man that was healed at the pool of Bethsaida. Because it's every areas of our lives, healing, direction, blessing. This man had been sitting there. Imagine, a man had infirmity for 38 years. It's John 5. We may not read everything. This man had infirmity for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he already had been in that condition a long time. And he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Imagine, somebody that has been sitting there for 38 years, almost all the facet of his life. And Jesus asks, "Do you want to be made whole?" What will be our response? Yes, because he's been sitting there. And the spirits that come there and make the water to just go, and people go, they say, I don't have anybody to push me there. Because he explained his predicament. He explained the condition that he was to Jesus. Same way, God wants us to explain the situation that we have. And then we should be willing and ready to accept whatever he will want us to do. That was how this man got healed, Daddy. And he explained to me, because Jesus had compassion on him. The same way he loves us so much, even more than we love ourselves. You see, all of us parents, we have children, and we have grandmas and grandpas here. When you see your grandchildren, you love them, but Jesus loves them more than you. So this man received the healing, and the man answered him. This action showed, the man answered him and mentioned everything to him. And God just told him that he received his healing that day because he allowed Jesus to take control of that situation, to take that sickness. And he said, answered him with all this response. So the same way, Jesus wants us to come to him. He wants us to seek him first. He wants us to live a life that is pleasing to him. He wants us to allow him to control our lives. And indeed, he will control our lives by the grace of God. Let's give it to him. He wants to give us all that, all his own will. Our heart desire should be in line with his will. So please and please, I'm imploring us this afternoon, let's give Jesus every chance in our lives and allow him to control us. Let us pray.